twisting our song and show. Bringing you Bigfoot new show, yo. Oh, yeah. Watching in the woods, catching all the food. Oh, yeah. Digging deep to bring you all the news. From sightings to footprints, it's all in the light. Stay tuned to Squatch Geek, it's out of sight.
And good evening, cyberspace. Welcome to the Bigfoot News for today's date, March 22nd, 2024. I'm your host, your guide, the Squatch Detective Steve Calls, along with my co-host right down there.
Steve, how you doing, bud?
I am, well, I'm hanging in there.
I want to know about that neck. Is that neck still an issue here?
Yeah. Okay. Unfortunately, yes, it is.
Hang in there, man. It'll get there.
Have my good days and bad days. I had a really good Monday.
Yeah,
I had a good Sunday. I had a good weekend, really. And then Monday I went, and then Tuesday morning it was like, oh, yeah.
Well, that's the thing of a nice hot soak in the bathtub of hot, extremely hot water for about an hour is great. About the time your fingers get all squiggly looking, or that makes it really feel better for a little while. You got like 15 minutes of, and then after that, air comes right back. Yep. But just hang in there, man. It's been
nice.
We've had great weather. It's been really nice weather to get out, and I haven't got out this week because my team is in revolt. They're having a revolution, but that's okay because we have a not really a democracy here, but more like an authoritarian system. So tomorrow we're all going out. Regardless how sore everybody is, we're going out tomorrow again.
Well, I got to say, overnight, I'm looking at 4 to 8 inches of snow.
Oh, man. Dude, we've had like 60s and 70s.
We're getting socked. Right now, it's 31 degrees.
Well, the first day of spring was yesterday. I think it was 21st of March, the first day of spring.
Yeah, Mother Nature's given us the bird.
Well, okay. So the groundhog lied.
Pretty much. Which is very, very common.
Yeah. Well, I got to give him credit. He picked it for this one because it's been really nice. Even the first day of spring yesterday was nice. But we'll see. You never know. Yeah. I have seen it snow on Easter in Kentucky. So who knows? Who knows?
That's right. They're on the... I'm gonna double check something real quick. Now that you mention it,
Easter's coming up next Sunday. It's actually Easter Sunday is in March this time. I think according to Google.
I gotta check my calendar here.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's interesting. Mm. I have a book. I have the show booked for Easter Sunday.
Speaking of books.
Oh, no. I'm sorry. Excuse me. Completely wrong.
Well.
I do have the show booked for this Sunday. Easter Sunday, there's no show.
Okay.
Yeah. That's what I had to look at. Sunday is March 31st.
Since you brought up book, I want to tell you, I'm 105 pages into your book.
And very good.
I'm really, really liking it. And, first of all, the way I read a book, I thought I was going to read about 20 pages or 25 pages a day. And that gives me time. That's my personal preference of way to read. It gives me time to absorb and, think about the information that I've read. And then I'll go on to read another, 20, 25 pages the next day. Well, when I picked yours up, like the first day I was 50 pages in. I was like, I wanted to put it down, I'm reading the PDF form, and I wanted to stop, but it just kept on going. I was like, this is not really a good place to stop. I'm just going to keep on going. And when I got up to 50, I said, that's it. I got to stop. But I'm up to 105 now, and I'm enjoying it. It's good stuff. Of course, with me and you, we talk a lot, both, online and offline. Yeah. And a lot of the stuff is familiar to me. But I tell you what, so far, you did go a little bit Ooh, when you're talking about when you start identifying the segments of the brain and what each does, and that's really good. I'm gonna it's gonna force me, unfortunately, to have to increase my knowledge on human anatomy a little bit.
And I knew I threw a few stories in there that you've never heard before.
Yeah. I've been enjoying those. The details about investigations of certain investigations that I hadn't heard of.
Yeah.
Those are great. I'm enjoying those.
Including some real world investigations that.
Yeah. Like, I'm going to get back into it. You know, I don't know if I'll be able to read any tomorrow or not, depending on how many miles we hike.
Okay.
Shall
we do the roll call?
Roll call. Let's see who we got in here.
First in today, wow. Lester Taylor.
Lester, welcome.
The chat room champion. Okay, we got Walter Kroll said, damn, Lester, nicely done. Relic Common, who'll be checking us out tomorrow. We have Ammon Chris.
Appreciate you, Relic.
Don Gumow Jr., yes. Tennessee Cherokee. Hello, Ristol. Cherokee. Good to see you. Helton, Ristol? AKA Festerman. Man. Max Powers, Bigfoot Hunter. Good to see you, Max.
Max, welcome.
Yeah, apparently, he's out in his tent. So, hello. And
oh, cool.
Keep dry, Max. We got Jay Fritz. Hello, Jay. Good to see you.
Okay.
Martin Stilts. Good to see you as well. Martin,
welcome.
Jeff D. Smith, good to see you, Jeff D. Jen, Jeff hello D. there. How are you? Arthur yeah. Watch, good to see you as well. Sharon, what's up? Smedley Do Right.
Smedley.
And Brian and Chewy Go Hiking. Hello, Brian. Give Brian. Chewy a pat on the head. Give him an extra yes. treat for us.
That's right. A bacon treat.
Bacon treat. Oh, I can't say that too loud. I'll wake my dog up over here. The office assistant is in his chair, you know, taking a snooze. There's Bill finding a trackway. Good to see you.
Yeah.
Angel Nolan. Hello, Angel.
Angel?
Hello. Okay. I think we're up. Nikki's out there. Sasquatch Seekers. Hey, good to see you, Nikki. All right. I think we got everybody.
All right. Welcome, everybody. It's good to see you.
So where should we start today with our Bigfoot news? How about this BFOR article that was written by the Centralia Washington Chronicle by Brandon Hanson?
Yeah, that's a good one. You want me to take that one, Steve, or are you going to do that?
I'll tell you what. I'll start the point up until where you started off with the investigation point.
Okay.
All right. So the Bigfoot Field Researchers Organization reported and investigated a recent sighting of a Sasquatch-like creature north of Centralia, Washington. According to the witness, who was riding motorcycles with his friend on February 4th, the group spotted something running across a ridgetop about a half mile away. It was very large and human-shaped, the witness reported to the BFRO. There was one color, tan brown, moving across very rugged terrain, making a beeline for the tree line. Hey, that rhymes, making a beeline
for the tree line.
Beeline for the tree line. Beeline. The three of them watched the figure for 30 seconds before it went out of sight. It moved so fluently with little arm movement, unlike a human running, said the witness. It easily was 10 feet tall for us to be able to see it from so far away. The witness reported the sighting to the BFRO on February 8th. That was only 4 days after he had the sighting. So why don't you pick it up with the investigation?
Cool. BFRO investigator Scott Taylor followed up with an investigation of his own. Taylor said that the area is well known for Bigfoot sightings and seems to be a travel corridor between the Capitol Forest and the Bald Hill area.
Oh, hang on a second.
Washington State. Yeah, that's a pretty hot area.
All right, we're a little out of order with the slideshow today because
that's the right one, though.
That is.
Okay, based on the descriptions of the way this creature walked and its speed across the terrain, I believe that these three witnesses were fortunate to see a Sasquatch, Taylor noted. Another investigator, Matt Moneymaker, hey, Matt, also talked with a witness at length. Moneymaker noted that Feaster's hobby is motorcycle trail riding, which has allowed him to explore a lot of backcountry. He has observed large animals and humans near and far while riding around the hills for over the years, Moneymaker said. This figure was observed at half-mile distance, but with an unobstructed view as it moved along out in the open. Both he and his riding companion were certain they were watching something that was upright and roughly 10 feet tall. Now, that's a big old boy. Moneymaker said if the figure was human, the witness and his friend would have figured that out. The figure they saw was simply too big to be a human, he said. The investigator points out that wildlife naturally transits between the mountains of the Olympic Peninsula and then the Cascade Mountains. This is the first Sasquatch sighting listed for Lewis County on the BFR website since December 2023. And it says for more info about the BFRO, go to BFRO.net. And of course, I think everybody watching pretty much knows where that's at. But yeah, another big sighting in Washington State, which is a hotbed for Bigfoot activity. And let me see this.
Well, you know, I've always said that, you know, even though we described it as 10 feet tall,
right?
At that distance, according to this, it's about a half mile distance. He saw this thing, right. You know, what's 2 feet and a half mile.
Yeah.
So it could be 8 feet, could be 10 feet, could even be 12 feet.
Yeah.
You know, we won't really know unless,
difficult to judge height at that distance, but looks like a pretty good area.
Get in your chair. All right.
Now, notice at the top they marked a power line route, which I'm assuming is a power line cut through the forest. Now, those are always reported to have activity. You know, a good place to search for activity. It's interesting. I mean, I love Washington State. I've been there a couple times, but I've never been out Bigfooting there, you know, out in the wilderness. But just driving by all those mountains and hills and trees is beautiful. I love it.
Yeah. Bill says he either needs longer arms or better reading glasses. Yeah, that really isn't up there for necessarily reading.
Yeah. Well, I was lucky, Bill, because I could blow it up where I could see it, but it's like, wow. Yeah, normally I have to drag out the reading glasses for small print. There we go. Now, exit full screen. There we go. I just recently figured out how to do that, by the way.
Yeah. Well, I'd say it's a very interesting sighting. Sounds credible enough. It wasn't anything amazing going on. It was just like a fleeting glimpse. Yeah. 30 seconds. That's a pretty good time, you know, better than average, better than your roadside crossing where it's done in like 5 seconds. Up there it goes. Yeah. Oop, there it goes.
Yeah.
So anyway,
they had a little time to observe it and observe its speed and stuff, but
right.
I'm surprised they didn't note anything about the speed. Of course, I've not looked at the BFRO report yet.
Yeah. And then again, too, the other kicker is as well, is that even at that distance, you kind of, in that time, with that time, which if it's about a half mile away, that does kind of make a lot of difference. It gives you that perspective for a while. Like, what am I looking at? Gives your time to your brain to go, wait a minute, that's walking upright and it's moving fast. And it's gotta be about 10 feet tall. You know, it's, you know, pretty large. It's very large. So,
you don't go into that it's 10 feet away from me thing to where you got the fight or flight, you
know, right,
reactions messing with your mind. So yeah, I thought it was interesting sighting, and you know, new, that's good. Something fresh.
All right, on to the next story. All right. You know, I'm having a very weird day. I'm having a hand cramp all day long. Ever get those?
Nerve pain?
No, it's just hand cramp. I've gotten those before. It's just,
Yeah. So, keep an eye on it.
See, Jeff was trying to get the skinny on our headlining story for the evening. And I was like, you got to watch the show. So he dragged his butt here. Hello, Jeffrey.
Welcome, Jeff. Good to see you, Jeff. We appreciate it.
Come on now. Do I look like the kind of father that would spoil a Christmas Day present? No.
Oh, man.
Yes. By the way, we're having a surprise birthday party for you tomorrow, Chris. No, I'm just
kidding. Oh, surprising.
Yeah, you know why you're surprised? Because it's not your birthday.
Oh, hey, so speaking of birthdays, Henry May's birthday is coming. I wrote this down. Hang on. Tuesday, March 26th is Henry May's birthday coming up. So if you guys haven't wished Henry happy birthday, you know, go over there to his channel. Check him out on HBM's Crypto Corner, Henry May's channel on YouTube. And Henry still does, Henry's going to be 54. 54, buddy. And Henry does, he does a Sasquatch Experience with Sean Forker, still great show. And he also does HBM's Crypto Corner, you know, usually, you know, once or twice a week, depending on how, you know, what he comes up with and how he feels. But great stuff, you know, always get over and support Henry. Yep. He is our walking encyclopedia of Bigfoot.
Well, we're going to get on Henry real soon, but I got another announcement on April 14th. We're going to have the great Tom Steinberg back on.
Oh, wow. Good. That's great. He is a very, very valid researcher. I really enjoy his work.
I don't know, Jen, about adding height during stress. I know I gain a lot of weight when I'm under a lot of stress.
Stress eating. Yeah.
Why add weight when I'm stressed? You know, my God, that entire pizza looks good.
Yeah. Hey, man, I can make it rough on a large pizza. I mean, I can do a number. At least for me, half of a large pizza is, you know, okay, that's a good enough meal. If I really wanted to, yeah, I could take out a large pizza, no problem, single-handedly.
Yeah. I've decimated a pizza or two in my day. I remember... And not to get off topic, but I remember like the first time I was being left home alone. I think I was like 14. Yeah. And, like five houses down from where I lived, there was a pizza place. So my father left me money. Go get yourself a pizza. There's, you know, soda in the fridge. Yeah. So I went down there, got myself a pizza, walked it home. They came back and they saw the pizza box sitting, you know, on the kitchen table. They opened it up. It was completely gone. I ran 14 and an entire pizza.
Yeah, of course. That's good. Well, that was back in the days when parents could leave their children at home alone and didn't have to worry about coming home to a pile of ashes and a dead child. You know, back in the old Generation X days where children were actually allowed to raise themselves partially.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, you know, it was like I went out. I would go out like at 9 o'clock in the morning, play ball or would do whatever.
Right.
I dinner time had to be in by 5 o'clock. So at, you know, 4:45, I walked in the door, had dinner. I was back out at 6 and I would come in at my curfew, which is either 8 or 9 o'clock at night.
That's
depending
it.
On my age. Yeah.
Go out early. I would get up early in the morning and my parents didn't see me. Yeah.
Butt worms lurking.
Welcome. I'd check in, you know, at dinner time, or as we call it in Kentucky, supper time.
Yep.
And that's it.
Oh, that's another thing. Next week, next week, I'm doing the seminar on the Miller Doc.
Yeah.
So doing that.
I read Miller. Through that one. That was part of the, in the yeah, it's covered. It's good, really good.
Yep. Okay. Next story. This is... This sighting comes from Columbia, Missouri, near Columbia, Missouri. And let me adjust the slideshow.
Big Mo.
So, yeah, this one came from 100.9 The Eagle. And this was the story written by the DJ there. I've heard my share of Missouri Bigfoot stories, but never one quite like this. A Missouri man claims he had one of these mythical creatures drawn to him possibly because of awesome music he was playing on his car stereo. I understand the possibility that you're going to laugh at the story and I'm about to share with you, but the Missouri man involved in this close encounter of the cryptid kind really does have an interesting story about how his most excellent classic rock songs may have been responsible. A man named Gary from Columbia, Missouri, shared this crazy encounter with the YouTube channel Sasquatch Theory, and it's a doozy. It happened on the east of Columbia off Route Z. That's located approximately here, and there's the map where it's approximately located. Here's what Gary described about his Missouri encounter. My wife was working. I wouldn't sit in the parking lot. I would sit off the side of the road, sit down there and listen to my music. I've listened to it pretty loud. I'm still a child of the 80s. Yeah. I'm listening to music. I had my passenger side window down and I start hearing that talk again, perhaps 20 to 30 yards away. It was when Gary looked in his rearview mirror that he knew something was wrong. It got really close, probably within 20 to 25 feet. I could still hear the talking going on. I got this overwhelming feeling of calm, too calm. I looked down to my driver's side mirror, and I swear there was somebody 6 to 6.5 feet tall, kind of bulky, but nothing huge. That's the talking stopped. Turned on my headlights, and it was all black. Gary still thought it might be a person, but the talking he heard was not human. The next night, Gary had another encounter in the same place with the same thing. Around 9:30, 10 o'clock at night, I'm sitting there listening to ZZ Top, AC/DC. I paused to pick the next song when a tree came crashing down with ungodly force. Fortunately, Gary was not hit by the tree, but he headed out because he did not want to meet whatever it was that shoved down that tree. And then he goes on to recommend you listening to the interview on Sasquatch Theory. I believe he's sincere about what he thinks he experienced, but you be the judge. Oh, and it might be, you might want to be careful where you listen to your awesome tunes from now on. So
I'm going to check that out. It's on the YouTube channel.
Sasquatch Theory. Yep.
Sasquatch Theory. I'm going to go check that out. That's interesting.
Interesting story.
It doesn't sound like, doesn't sound like an unbelievable, encounter. It sounds like just sitting there listening to his music and something.
Well, yeah. I mean, again, it's one of those stories that's not too flamboyant. Right. Oh, I saw it there and its fangs were dripping and yada, yada, and all bullshit.
Yeah.
So.
It's not exactly a life and death, a life or death.
Yeah, I couldn't tell you, Trackway, talking or mumbling. I'm only reading what the article stated. So
yeah, that was a valid. That was a valid point. Yeah, what are we talking about? This talking stuff? Are we talking about the Sierra
sounds? And unfortunately, we do not know the guy's last name. The previous witness on the BFRO. I will say this: that the article, I think, inadvertently put the witness's name out on the report, and that had been since retracted. So when I wrote this originally, I had to double check and make sure. I had to edit my own script here to make sure I wasn't saying the two witnesses' names, because I have both the witnesses' names.
Walter Kroll says Bigfoot is an 80s fan. Me too, Walter.
Yep. Do you think listening to Wham would make Bigfoot Woodnock harder? Wait.
Oh, that's terrible, Steve. That's terrible.
Did he just say that?
Now comes the part where we throw our heads back and laugh. Ready?
Ready!
Yeah, he said that.
Finding the trackway. Well, that was beautiful. Excellent.
Well, at least it wasn't a platypus joke.
You guys are killing me. That's why. It's hard for me while we're doing the show. It's hard for me to look over and, I do have to scan the chat to make sure it's if anybody's asking a question or something, but it's hard for me to concentrate because these guys in the chat always kill me. I mean, it's hilarious. Well, thank y'all so much. We appreciate y'all so much. He puts an 80s fan. Wham, I'm going to make him wood knock.
So who knows? Playing loud music, did it attract a Bigfoot? I mean, we've talked a lot of times on this channel and over on the other podcast about primate curiosity. So,
sure. So, yeah. That's, anyway, that's one of the good. That's one of the techniques is to make them curious about you, so they'll come and see. Well, yep. What the heck is this guy doing?
What is this? And the second time, he threw a tree down. So apparently, he didn't like whoever he was playing that night.
Maybe.
You know, he's listening to, you know, AC/DC, ZZ Top, yeah. Maybe Twisted Sister.
Yeah.
And,
maybe a Cher song came on the radio.
and maybe instead he should have been listening to Rush or the Scorpions or, yeah. Or you know, whoever, or maybe Pantera. Yeah, that's what I would be listening to.
Need some Kiss on that radio.
Yeah. Well, that's actually very early 80s, maybe even mostly 70s, truthfully. I remember Kiss. Oh, yeah, they had some good stuff.
Took off the makeup. They still had some pretty good stuff.
Very good one. Yes, what happened was it went from the ZZ Top song and it went to Barry Manilow, and he pushed the... I may write the songs that make the whole world stink. Anyway, All right, enough of that story. Another one bites the dust. All right.
My face is hurting now. Okay.
You know what? Biscardi's face has been killing me for years.
Well, I mean, you know, we do this, you know, we have fun. We present the news, whatever is available, of course, but we have fun doing this, and that's really important to me.
That's what makes this show fun, is because we make light of what...
We've had a good time, right?
Yeah, right.
No matter what, we've had a good time.
And trust me, we always try to put a few lighthearted articles into it.
Yeah.
And we always have one serious article, and we're keeping that one for last tonight, of course.
The serious one is last. Oh, okay. That's one for last.
So, where are we?
Lester says, I would think Bigfoot is more of a Johnny Horton fan. North to Alaska. I know who Johnny Horton is, Lester.
I don't.
Oh, man.
Okay. This one comes from Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie. A hunt for the elusive hairy being called Sasquatch is planned for a heavily wooded area in Athens, Georgia. The Athens-Clark County Leisure Services Department is hosting Sasquatch Adventure from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. this Saturday. The program is for those 10 and older, but children must be accompanied by an adult. Poor adults. Previously, this group, led by a highly trained government staff, will search for the animal signs, evaluate habitat, experiment with calls and other techniques in search of Sasquatch, the Park Services reported. Yeah, I'm sure. It looks like it's a fun kids event. What's the matter?
Government staff, a lot of smoke coming up there, Steve, from something.
That's
not sure what that is. trained government staff in tracking.
Well, no, just a trained government staff. You know, they're having fun. They're having fun with it. So, the one thing I can say, hopefully this isn't, you know, since it's Georgia, hopefully it's not guided by Rick Dyer. The world's best Bigfoot tracker. Yeah, okay. Whatever, dude.
I don't think Dyer, does he still live in Georgia? I thought he'd like moved to Texas or something.
No, I believe he is in Arkansas. He's all over the place. He's in Arkansas. He's in Texas. He's in Florida. He's in Georgia. I mean, since Georgia, he went from Georgia to Florida, Florida, Arkansas, Arkansas to Texas, Texas to Nevada. Now he's went back to Florida, and then now he went back to Arkansas.
Rolling stone gathers no moss.
Yeah. Enough. Never mind. I'm not going to say anything derogatory.
No. Would it make you mad if I said that I was just currently eagerly awaiting his next hoax?
Yeah.
It would.
Because I'm sure it's in the works.
I'm sure it is. I'm just waiting. You know, come on. Let's have it. Yeah.
Okay. So if people are looking for a great thing, I promised Eric I would advertise the camping adventure. So if you're looking for a real Bigfoot adventure, check this out. Okay, we're back.
September 6th and 7th.
Yes, sir. Gonna be a good time. Hopefully, I won't be in a wheelchair by then. Yeah.
Be careful. Watch yourself. Don't do something silly while you're hurt.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. All right. Finally, we're going to get into our last story. Chris, you have that one up?
Yeah.
That's your bad boy.
Bill Beam, the spiritual warrior. Okay. This one comes from...
Don't give me a Snapple.
It's a piece done by David Peskovitz, and it's from Boing Boing.
Weird.
Bigfoot is an unholy hybrid of fallen angels, humans, and apes, says Reverend / Exorcist. Here we go. Maryland Reverend Bill Beam is a world-renowned exorcist, spiritual deliverance minister, and is known as the spiritual warrior, according to his website. The Daily Star.
And there it is.
The Daily Star reports that Beam has solved the mystery of Bigfoot, and while they aren't extraterrestrial, as others have argued, they do have a UFO connection. Okay. Reverend Beam says he believes unidentified flying objects could be divine Merkaba chariots.
Poop. Now, everywhere. Poop.
Vehicles he claims carried Satan and a third of the angels down to Earth.
Satan.
Remember
Dana Carvey doing Church Lady?
Yes. Well, no, could it be Satan?
Could Bigfoot be Satan?
This is a tough one to get. You should have taken this one. This is tough to get through. They came down here and they took human women and produced a hybrid offspring of giants called the Nephilim.
Dun, dun, dun!
Yeah. The Nephilim went into the fields and the forests and had unnatural sex acts with apes, bears, wolves, dogs, monkeys, you name it. And that is the Bigfoot, Sasquatch creatures. So these Nephilim things came down and they did certain acts with apes, bears, wolves, dogs, and monkeys. Okay, all right. Moving on. I suppose Beam does have credibility when it comes to such matters, given his own supernatural experiences living in a haunted house where he suffered
That was a Freudian slip right there.
Where he suffered physical demonic attacks between the ages of 5 and 12. I got through that. I can't believe it. This guy, you know, not only has he got it all figured out, he was actually, you know, attacked between the ages of 5 and 12 physically by demons. Oh, Steve, that story got you, didn't it? Get you a drink, man. Get you a drink.
Yeah, sure.
Well, I'm the one that had to read it. I mean, I had to read through this fluttering fluff or whatever it is.
Fluttering fluff. Here's the thing. UFO hunting exorcist.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, whoa. Nikki.
Uh-oh. Nikki has... Thank you, Nikki. She has called for Ralph.
Thank you.
Hey, Nikki. Ralph. Hang on, let's... Hello, calling Ralph. Ralph, what do you think of this guy's opinion right now?
Oh,
I can't stop it.
I concur.
Okay, so let's get serious for a minute here.
With this one?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, all right.
And the reason why is for those who are not familiar with the paranormal world, which I do. You know, there was a period of time I was a paranormal investigator. And for those that don't know, I was a demonologist. I'm an ordained minister. I got ordained. I had the support of an old Holy Catholic priest, and I was a demonologist. This gentleman, Bill Bean, is a demonologist as well. He doesn't say the term, but that's exactly how he's acting. He talks about, he's calling himself an exorcist. Well, that's what a demonologist does. And the reason why people don't know that I did this is because I don't do it for the FaceTime that he apparently is doing this for. As you can see on the slideshow, he's got a website and he's talking, you know, talking about this. And I'm sorry, I could never do that for any remunerance at all. I was there strictly to help people.
Right.
And due to an event that occurred back in, I want to say 2018, maybe even 2019, early 2019, I have kind of stepped out of it. So do I believe there are certain aspects of that that are true? Yes. So I don't think it's all crazy. Mm-hmm. You know, there is a lot of, fluff that they put into the articles, and that may be as a result of journalism. You know, for example, you know, he battled demonic forces when he was a child and yada, yada, yada. No, he probably had some experiences, some very negative experiences, which can happen to anybody. If you subscribe to that sort of stuff. But you see, here's the difference. The difference is I know where the lines are drawn on it. And certain people, and I look at that, and Chris, you're understanding where I'm coming from because you started to read the book.
I know exactly where you're coming from.
So you have people like MK Davis. You have people like Bill Bean. You have people that, for example, MK Davis, very dedicated to the Patterson film. But he took it one step too far. He started to think in it too much. And I think it's the same thing with this gentleman here, is that, you know, he's probably got a lot of right points and had a lot of real experiences, but he's just taking it too far now.
Well, yeah, there's a difference between what you were doing and what this gentleman is doing. And I tell you what I think it is. I think it's all related to this.
Yeah, I don't know.
Money.
Like I said, in the paranormal side of things, he was very well revered. So that's why this becomes serious to me.
Yeah.
Is because what'll end up happening is he may influence other people on that side to believe they are Nephilim, when all that is in. Yeah, I agree, Mick. It's a fluff piece, is what it is, you know, and you got to understand what I am seeing is, especially a lot of these littler, these literal news websites like the Daily Star, the Irish Star, they have very little to report on. And on a slow news day, hey, why not pick up this story? It's weird, and we'll make a nice fluff piece and make it interesting and get people to come back and get more.
Well, yeah, it caught the Bigfoot crawler but on the web.
I really bothered by it. And the reason why is because, for people who don't know, and Chris, you haven't gotten to the end of the book, right? But the end of the book, I kind of challenge people to put their foot down against stuff like this. No, Mick, actually, you said National Enquirer story. Not really, because there's truth Bill Bean actually is a real guy, actually did what, you know, has experience. Well, it claims to experience what they're saying he claimed to experience. There was nothing in there that was untrue. So, you know, there was nothing there that was exaggerated. That's Bill Bean's story. And Eric Altman used to do, he used to do a show that not only covered Bigfoot, but it covered UFOs and other cryptids and the paranormal. And he, one of his frequent guests was Bill Bean. So, you know, but to me, it becomes so much more important because Bean is an influencer in his own right in certain, you know, certain pockets of, say, the research of the strange and unusual. Well, Mick, when I'm saying nothing untrue, absolutely. Did Bill Bean claim to experience that stuff? Absolutely. Does he have a website? Absolutely. Does he? I mean, these are shots off his website, not off the article that you're looking at. Yeah. I just put the Daily Star because that's where the article came from. Has he claimed this stuff all? You know, does he believe that Bigfoot or Nephilim? Yes, he does. So there's nothing untrue in the article. He's not saying that this stuff really does exist. Not the journalist. He's just saying that Bill Bean says that this is what it is, and is 100% accurate representation of what Bean is saying. So
he's not the first one to suggest this either.
Understand the article in its context. That the journalist wasn't saying this is the truth. He was saying this is what Bill is saying.
It's my thought that he's been reading through some of Melba Ketchum's old blog.
Chris, you're muted.
Oh. How about now?
Uh-oh, Mike, your mic shut down. You might have to wiggle that wire.
Be right back.
All right. Technical difficulty. See, it's the demons. Uh-oh. If you can't hear Chris, then what the hell's going on with my audio?
Okay. And can you hear me now?
All right, Chris, apparently the problem is not with you. The fans are hearing you. I can't hear you. I don't know what's going on. I'm gonna come back out and come back in.
Okay. Well, we'll try switching out a little bit. Yeah. Normally when I go out and come back in, if there's any problem, it's usually gone. Whoa. I don't know how I got that big, but I apologize to all the folks at home because I have a face for radio. But I think this guy, had just been over to Melba Ketchum's blog and had been reading stuff about Nephilim and stuff like that. Which, you know, I'm sure there's probably a place for an argument like that, but that's one of those, one of those debates like the UFOs and stuff like that that's just not tied to Bigfoot, in my opinion. Yeah, Walter. Yeah, it's a Chris Bennett show. Yeah, well, it's temporarily until Steve gets back. But Chris did want, let me get some of these comments. Finding the Trackway says, Chris did want to be seen laughing at my platypus joke on screen. Yeah. And Smedley D. Wright, demons testing Chris. Maybe. But, that's another mystery that, you know, it's not really related. Now, I like mystery. Don't get me wrong. I mean, I'm sure like a lot of you guys will watch, stuff like paranormal shows and, the ghost shows and UFO documentaries. I like that stuff. It's all fine. But is it related to Bigfoot? I'm not seeing any evidence. Yeah. did I make myself smaller? Let's see. I'm going to click some buttons here. Oh, there we go. That's better.
That's better.
That's a little better. Let's see. No, that didn't work. Okay. Hey, that's better. That's better. Okay. And my camera is not too great either. I think it looks better. I look better from afar than close up. But let's see. I'm going to check out some of these. Mick says, Chris, I raised my glass and I toast you for getting through that story. Well, Mick, it wasn't easy. It was a tough one. Let's see. All right. Mick says, there's only one thing that can kill a Nephilim. That's my ex-wife's meatloaf. Okay.
Well, Steve, where you at, man? Let me look, guys. Hang on.
Oh, okay. Steve's had to restart. There he is. There he is. He had to restart his computer. Can you hear me now, Steve?
Yes. Loud and clear.
Good. But, I had to switch this over. When you left, I filled out the screen and probably horrified our viewers at home. And I apologize for that. But,
Jay Gary is right.
Yeah. Let me bring that up.
Yeah.
Jay Gary says,
And it's right. And if you look, it's one thing to say, okay, how should I say it? The people that believe in the paranormal world stuff, a lot of them are pretty arrogant about it.
Yeah.
They will turn around and say, well, I know all about the Bigfoot stuff. And then they'll proceed to tell you all about this paranormal experience.
And then
they'll be the first ones that'll try to tell you you're wrong.
Can we switch this up where I don't feel comfortable being over you?
No, that's better. I feel much better.
Steve. No, Steve, you got top billing, bud. There you go. I was telling everybody in the chat and all the listeners, I don't mind paranormal stuff. I like watching it. The UFO stuff, I watch that. I enjoy it. I love good mystery. I'm sure everybody does. But, when you start tying all the mysteries together, what do you got? Okay, Bigfoot, arrives on a UFO. He's actually a demon and riding on the back of the Loch Ness Monster. Come on.
And, I used to love, if you ever watch Law and Order, the late Richard Belzer, Detective Munch, he always believed in conspiracy theories, right? Mm-hmm. Did you know in real life, Richard Belzer was very much involved in conspiracy theories and looking at them?
No, did not know that.
He actually wrote a book on the Kennedy assassination, right? And somebody started asking him about this and asking him about that. And he goes, wait. He goes, I don't believe there's anything that will wrap all these mysteries into one thing. And he goes, in the case of like government conspiracy stuff, I believe there's banking interest. I believe there's oil interests. And I believe, maybe there's military industrial interests.
Right.
And they all don't conspire to create every single thing wrong going on out there. Right. Sometimes they do merge when they have a common denominator, like they have a common enemy. He goes, but they're doing their little thing. They're doing their little thing. They're doing their little thing. Let's not get all confused. And, don't forget the fart out orbs too.
Orbs. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, that is a legitimate thing. Orbs.
Now let me explain a couple of things. When I was doing paranormal investigation, I don't think maybe but once I truly thought I caught an orb on a rolling video. Most of it was dust. We'd sit there and go, nope, dust. Dust. Nope, that's dust. You can see, oh yeah, but it's going horizontal. Well, yeah, that's because the heating duct is over there. We make notes and we take diagrams in the house. And that was a lot of things we would do. We would measure EMF. We would go around, make notations of where the electrical panels were, where if the house had forced air, where the heating vents were. Because if we put a camera near a forced heating vent and you see what looks like orbs going past the camera, we would know that it was dust.
Dust, right.
Right.
So, well, you know, the kind of orbs that I was thinking of, of course, I know what dust particulates look like when they're close at night with a camera. But I was talking about like literal balls of light.
Right.
Faint balls of light that actually move around and stuff, and usually at night. And these are well documented. I've seen them myself. Yep. They're really famous in Marfa, Texas. Yep. You can go see Marfa lights.
And Minnesota. There's a set of lights out, I believe, out in Minnesota as well. Or maybe it was Michigan.
Now, those happen here in Kentucky, too, right, down on the river. And coincidentally, those happen near oil fields, oil wells down on the river. So there's some.
So even when I was a paranormal investigator, I was very clear that there was nothing paranormal about Bigfoot whatsoever. It's a flesh and blood thing. It's been reported for many, many years. People who interacted with them or saw them, I should say, reported them as flesh and blood. Nothing abnormal. Did you ever hear Roger Patterson say anything abnormal? For God's sakes, we got it on film. Right. If you believe in the Freeman, we got it again. Absolutely right. Yeah, I listened to that same presentation, Mick, about Richard Belzer doing the very, and that was when somebody had asked him in the end, and that's in that particular symposium, I think it was to the National Press Club, and he talked about a book he had written about the Kennedy assassination, and very well-versed, very smart, but not like kooky. You have to take everything for what it's worth, and you have to break things down a little bit. There's the story of Tom Messick. Tom Messick is a guy who disappeared at Lily Pond up in Warren County, New York. And he was featured on Missing 411.
Yeah.
And there were so many things about that. I don't really want to break into detail. And if you watch Missing 411, it was another story about a guy who went missing in Colorado.
Right.
And they found his shoes, and then they found some of his backpack, and then they found his clothing. And, well, why would he take his clothes off? What happened to him? Right. Yeah. In actuality, many hypothermia patients get the sensation that they're burning up. So they start
taking Before you freeze to death, your body feels like you're burning up.
Because that's what happens when the nerves freeze, they begin to burn. That's why if you ever come in from the extreme cold and your fingertips start to hurt because you got them way too cold and now they're coming back down the temperature.
Everybody that's ever played in snow has had that experience.
Right. So as an investigator, I'd be like, there's nothing unusual about that. The guy, it's a very sad case of hypothermia. You know, as far as the whole Tom Messick case, Lily Pond in that area is a Bigfoot hotspot. But there was no evidence there whatsoever other than the fact they couldn't find him. Right. They couldn't find his rifle either.
Yeah, that was kind of odd, that case.
Right. And Jay, I agree with you in a lot of that statement.
Even if you considered that the elderly man may have been a victim of foul play, I mean, he was armed with a deer rifle.
Right. And, you know, what's more likely that happened? He got off trail. It was wintertime. Surprise, it's another winter, right?
Right.
He got off trail, got completely turned backwards, got lost, and probably died of hypothermia. And for whatever reason, they can't find his body.
Right.
Happens.
Yeah. And I'll tell you what.
Datloff Pass. You know, I notice Mick mentions Datloff Pass. Now, I did a special show on Datloff Pass.
Yeah.
A few years back. And a lot of people are showing that Bigfoot picture around. Oh, look, there was that Bigfoot picture that they caught. What was that? That was a picture made up for that mockumentary. That's what that was. People don't remember that. It was a lie. That was a picture that was never taken by any of them. It wasn't found on their cameras.
They got me.
It was made up for that mockumentary.
They got me. When I first turned that on, I started watching that, and they showed that image. I was like, they got me.
But, you know what didn't get me? When they start having these scientists come on and they're scripted like Hollywood. And I'm like, no, scientists don't talk like that. Yeah. Yeah. If you ever listen to John Moyndinsky, Kathy Strain, Jeff Meldrum, Dr. John Bindernagel, Dr. Grover Krantz, Dr. Leroy Fish, Dr. Henner Fehrenbach, Dr. Esteban Sarmiento, which I've listened to all these guys at length over the years.
Right.
Even in the earlier days, Dr. Matt Johnson. If you listen to them back in their prime, you understand that these guys are saying this stuff on this TV that makes no sense.
Felt like it was been well practiced and rehearsed rather than a live stream of consciousness, discussion
going on. Right. Right. And I'm like, why? So the minute what I did was I pulled my phone out during the show and I Googled the name of the professor. Said, oh, he learned at this university. I started Googling it, and there's no references. And then I'm scrolling and scrolling, and all of a sudden it comes up to it's a character. Right. So then you're like, I get it. And they did. Not only did they do the Datloff Pass phony, they did a Bigfoot captured phony, which they really skunked people because they suckered Jeff Meldrum into giving an interview for that show.
Yeah, but he did come out and say, hey, look, he was duped into that.
Right.
He did not know where they were going with this.
Right.
Which, easily.
So not only did they do the Datloff Pass special, they did the Megalodon. They did the mermaid special.
And they did the same ones that did the mermaid thing.
Yeah, and they did the Bigfoot captured special. So they did
the Bigfoot captured one, man. I was getting phone calls, from my relatives. Hey, they got him. They got him. Steve, man.
I saw that. Yeah, I heard the bird. So the bird warns me.
Okay.
So anyway, folks, we are going to be back Sunday night. Our guest Sunday night will be our good friend from Pine Island Research. And we will be having that show Sunday night, 9 p.m. Anyway, I'm set for the weekend because I made a huge pot of meatballs and sauce with sausage too. And I made a big 2 gallon pot of that.
We got stuff for spaghetti. We got stuff for meatball subs. We got all kinds of stuff. Yeah.
So that's what I'm doing. But you know what? You're already in spring, Chris. You don't have to hunker down. I have to hunker down tomorrow. But anyway, folks, we'll be catching you all. Hang on one second. Let me just. We will catch everybody here on Sunday night, 9 p.m. Eastern. Sorry, I'm a little bit off tonight. So neck is cranking. The sound went fakakta. So. All right, folks, everybody be safe. Catch you in a couple of days. Peace out.